Your What Now? Written by Naraboth and read by Shakespeare Stormyer Owl.
The 24th Key.
Nani.
Wilfriede 0815.
Potfig Lover.
Tiny Happy Sun.
And Maggie Jolly.
Summary. There is just no way Catco employees don't think that Kara and Lena are dating. Chapter 1. When Lena shows up at Catco for the first time, it does create some stir. Nobody accepts the notorious Luther heiress to just waltz into their offices, though it would be understandable for the CEO, being the new biggest name in town, to pay a courtesy call to the newly made reigning king of National City Media. But Lena Luther does not come to see James Olsen. She comes for Kara Danvers, one-time nerdy assistant to Cat Grand, now a budding reporter who seems to be just as surprised to see her as everyone else on the floor. They seem to be completely oblivious to the dozen pair of eyes watching their amicable conversation, not even noticing when 5 feet away from them, Angie from the social media department chokes on her coffee upon the sight of Lena Luther, biting her lip at a blushing Kara Danvers. Once Lena leaves, the Catco team starts a betting pool on how long it will take for the two to grace their cover. Some people end up being very disappointed the following day when the headlines are about the attack on the Luther Gala and Supergirl saving the day. There aren't any more visits, but Kara keeps covering L-Corp and Lena Luther, and people start snickering every time the young reporter leaves Catco to head for the L-Corp building. Snapper Carr is either completely oblivious to the situation, being the one to assign these reports to Ponytail, or, as Dave suggests once, the biggest shipper of them all to keep enabling Kara's crush. And then, shit hits the proverbial fan when Lily and Luther escapes and Lena is arrested. Kara shows up as the office is scrambling for last-minute changes, and at least three people end up overhearing the heated arguing between Snapper and Kara, and witnessing Kara storming out of Snapper's office and chewing out James Olsen, her own damn boss, in the middle of their workplace after Snapper and James refuse to give up the opportunity to make another Luther being guilty into a cover story. Meaningful glances are shared all around, and some people shake their heads and mutter,
Poor girl,
before Snapper comes out yelling for the cover design. The next day is crazy, with Lena Luther disappearing from prison and Kara is nowhere to be found. The day after that, however, the Luther heiress reappears. Hard evidence surfaces proving her innocence and, along with it, Kara, with a beautifully written article dedicated to clearing Lena's name of the wrongful accusations. But even before it goes into print, half a dozen delivery men appear at Catco, carrying what looks like the entirety of a flower shop, carefully depositing their burden into Kara's office, as the reporter flushes, flails, and stammers, and then rushes off to L-Corp at Snapper's command.
They'll make such a beautiful couple.
Steph from the art department observes later that evening, when Catco employees head out for drinks, celebrating the success of the new issue.
They might be just friends.
Brandon from PR interjects, and is met with groans all around the table.
Just friends don't flood each other's offices with flowers.
Angie glares.
Anyway, we'll need a hashtag or something if they ever go public. Shame Miss Grant isn't around. She's so great at branding.
Lena Luther starts appearing more and more at Catco after that, and even the skeptics finally accept that Kara Danvers really managed to land the hottest genius CEO National City has ever seen. They go out for lunch together every other day, Kara always talking about new places she wants to try, and Lena listening to her with an utterly endeared expression. They seem to keep PDA to a minimum, though, and while they are out, they somehow manage to avoid paparazzi, but there are still some very warm hugs and lingering gazes and, oh god, those lip bites.
See, I told y'all, they are such a cute couple.
Steph, stop doodling Carlina forever on your notepad and get back to work.
So I was with Snapper at that spherical press conference, and do you want to make a wild guess about who came with Lena Luther?
Shoulders of a Greek statue, manner of a puppy, ponytail?
Yep. Snapper threw some insults at her, and man, you should have seen the look Lena gave him. I know she's supposed to be the good Lufa and all, but I really thought we'd find old boy Ka dead in some back alley by this morning.
There's a party shortly after Kara is re-employed by Snapper, and much to everyone's surprise, she appears with a somewhat bland-looking young man on her arm. The same young man they've seen with Eve Teschmacher a couple of times. Confused glances are exchanged all around.
Hey!
Angie greets them.
Nice to see you made it, Kara. And who might your concert be? Your cousin?
Kara fumbles with her glasses and lets out a strained laugh.
No, this is Mike, my boyfriend.
Four people in the vicinity choke on their drinks.
Your what now?
Yeah, my boyfriend? We're a couple?
Kara doesn't seem to understand the confusion settling on her colleagues' faces.
I mean, congrats and all, it's just that we all thought you were dating Nina Lufa, you know? With the flowers and lip bites and lunch dates.
Steph explains helpfully, and Kara's face turns as red as Supergirl's cape. While her boyfriend, really, follows the conversation with the facial expression of a lost puppy.
Oh, Rao, I mean, God, no. Lena and I are just friends. Very good friends. Excuse us,
she says, seeing that Mike is about to open his mouth and drags him away. Angie stares after them, and Steph takes a large swig before turning to her.
So, do you think this is a beard, or some kind of menage a trois deal, or...
Chapter 2. Steph is starting to think about spiking the coffee, and Angie's face looks decidedly tortured while Phil, the new intern, is watching the lunch unfolding before their eyes on the Catco office's balcony with a childlike enthusiasm.
So, Lena Luthor really regularly comes over to see Kara? Wow, they must be such good friends.
Steph snorts into her coffee.
Yeah, kid. Good friends.
Good friends who just look moonstruck when they are around the other.
Angie continues.
Who look at each other like they are each other's suns and stars.
Who go out on lunch dates every other damn day.
Flirt nonstop.
Bite their lips at each other. Just like that. Did you see it? Seriously.
Phil keeps looking back and forth between his colleagues and the supposed lovebirds on the balcony.
You mean, well, then shouldn't we, like, post this kind of thing?
He suggests helpfully.
I mean, this is what Catco usually makes a ton of money off, right? And they're right there. It's not like it's hard to get a clean shot.
He gets two incredibly murderous glances and responds.
Miss Grant's protege is off limits, Philip.
Okay, sorry.
He puts his hands up defensively.
Oh, hey, look! Looks like Miss Luther is leaving.
But not before hugging her good friend, of course.
Angie grins, but then her eyes widen as the CEO leaves.
Oh my God, did she just check Lena out? I mean, I can't fault her, but seriously, that wasn't even subtle.
To be fair, subtlety is not exactly Kara wandering eyes Danvers' strong suit.
Phil is near Angie's desk when a very casually dressed young man appears, carrying and chewing on some Chinese takeout.
Did somebody order lunch?
He asks, but Angie just shakes her head with a very displeased frown.
No, that's Kara's boyfriend, or so they say.
Really?
Phil watches the guy with a newfound interest.
That's double is really unflattering,
he comments.
Yeah, he looks like he has dirt stuck on his face.
Angie agrees.
So, does he know about Lena?
I'm not even sure Kara knows about it.
Oh.
Phil processes the information, then grimaces when he overhears Mike's comment about bathroom etiquette.
Poor girl.
Chapter 3. At the end of the day, it's probably fortunate that a little alien boy racks Ketko into pieces, even before the invasion. Employees get sent home, and thus most of the people are tucked away safely in their homes when the Daxamite invasion begins in earnest, with bombing and shootings, alien troops on the ground, spaceships hovering menacingly above the city, and messages from their supposed new leader booming through the streets. It's a dark day for National City. But then, Cat Grand returns, and with her, the voice of hope and reason. She rallies people of National City, calling for resistance, the overthrowing of their invaders. A flurry of events follow. The Daxamite mothership is blown to pieces, along with five of the other vessels. And the rest of them decide that maybe Earth isn't going to be the new Daxam after all, and disappear back into the portal where they came from. The Daxamite soldiers stranded on Earth have to face the joint forces of Supergirl, Superman, and the NCPD, and the mysterious black ops that usually appear along with aliens, and they really don't stand a chance. The citizens of National City slowly start regrouping and rebuilding. There are, of course, numerous photos documenting the unbelievable turn of events. Supergirl and Superman engaged in heroic fights. Policemen and soldiers fending off the Daxamites, or the common citizens taking the streets. The one that makes the most hits, however, is none of those. It's Supergirl holding Lena Luthor in her arms, with the explosion of the Daxamite ship lighting up the background. Supergirl's arms are wrapped tightly around Lena's waist, while Luthor's hands are buried in Supergirl's hair, the two are locking lips, kissing like there's no tomorrow. The comment sections are blowing up with variations of
"Holy shit! This is real!
Life goals. Wife goals.
OTP.
Moms, OMG!"
Most of the Catco employees are celebrating the magazine getting the scoop of the year, being the first to publish what's already been deemed the kiss of the century on their covers first. Some, however, are anxious to see a certain colleague's reaction to this news.
Does SG know her reporter friend is conducting some serious gal pal activity with the woman she just snogged?
Maybe this is a menage a trois thing?
Must this happen in the Catco employees group chat?
Cat Grand is greeted with a standing ovation when she returns to Catco. She has an unusually wide smile on her face, almost friendly, and even when she finally waves her hands to dismiss the people with a
"Back to work now, chop chop,"
she looks decidedly affectionate. The wonders of the day don't cease with that. First, Kara Danvers takes her place at her desk, looking even more animated as usual, smiling and humming to herself, not aware of the meaningful looks exchanged by her co-workers around her. Secondly, about 10 minutes later, Lena Luthor appears at the office, only to be greeted with a hug by Cat Grand. The two settle down on the couch in Miss Grant's office, chatting like old friends, and people are starting to wonder whether they've actually entered some alternate universe or dream world, because nothing quite seems to make sense today. And then, after a good 20 minutes, Lena Luthor marches out of Miss Grant's office with the kind of confident swagger that one really only sees from Cat Grant herself in that place. Strolls up to Kara's desk, greets her with a smile and a
"Hey, babe."
And when Kara looks up and smiles, one of those 1,000-watt smiles in return, Lena reaches out to cup her face into her hands and bends forward to draw Kara in for a searing kiss. At least one coffee cup is dropped on the floor. Phil spills tea all over his keyboard, Steph's face is turning curiously red, and Angie's just staring slack-jaw at the pair. Somebody is definitely whispering,
"What the actual fuck?"
as Kara and Lena finally break apart, the CEO smirking and the reporter blushing profusely. She stands up and the two leave hand in hand, ignoring the literal 100 pair of eyes glued to their every movement and the not-so-subtle whispers of
"Did you see that?
Oh my god!"
and
"Now Dad will be the scoop of this decade."
Angie finally closes her mouth and gathers enough air in her lungs to speak.
"Did they really just..."
"Yep."
"This feels like a fever dream."
"Yep."
"Let's check which Bassett won the betting pool."
The end.
Snapper car.
That's one of the bosses at Catco.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think comic book names.
Right, yeah.
Maybe We can mutter poor girl, like some of it. Just...
Mm-hmm. Should I retake that line and you want to...
No, I mean, I will edit it in.
Yeah.
Just some people...
Poor girl.
I think
that's come overly.
Of course, a poor girl. Yeah.
Juice. Poor girl.
And it's met with groans all around the table.
Just friends. No. That's someone groaning still.
Did you hold it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, it is.
That was very fun, say.
Very fun.